أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبل وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعدا الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين أبصار الناظرين وعجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين بالقاسم محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين والعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين اما بعد السلام علیکم جميعا ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ وعظم اللہ اجورنا اجورکم in the continuation of the discussion of the role of faith in life we said that faith is the foundation upon which many of our unique or required qualities based upon. For instance, sabr, tawakkul, rida, ilm, even Islam, all of the other or many qualities that we've been asked to acquire, all of the good qualities which we've been asked to acquire, hilm, taqwa, amal salih, all are based on the foundation of faith, iman. The stronger our iman and faith would be, the stronger our amal, our action, our akhlaqiyat would be. We also pointed out to the difference between knowledge and faith. We also said that faith is not something based on or founded upon blind belief, but rather it is based upon knowledge. Today we will add that faith is not something that will be opposite or against aql, but it will be in harmony with aql. So a person who have faith, who have iman, is a person who have aql as well. And a person who have aql would have iman. An intellectual person is a person who have faith. Now aql, intellect, has its own sort of reality and it requires its own discussion, but just very briefly I would mention aql is a gift given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really discern between haqq and batil. Aql is a tool by which a human being understands what is good and evil. So therefore, a person who has faith, a person who has iman, he will not be considered as someone who is stupid, but rather the opposite. Now, to extend our discussion or to continue or to add on to our discussion in regards to knowledge and iman, we also mentioned that the possibility of individual of people who have knowledge and not iman exist. For example, and the greatest of all example is Iblis himself, who had knowledge of everything, of ibtida and intiha, even of intiha. You know, having knowledge of ibtida is something, you know, good, but of intiha is much more greater, because intiha is something that requires more of an you know, stronger belief or a stronger sort of deeper knowledge through which one really believe in the hereafter. So shaitan, who had the knowledge and who have seen the ibtida and also have the knowledge of the intiha. The reason I say intiha, because shaitan says that, give me the time till the day of judgment, because he knows that there is day of judgment. But in regards to iman, he failed. He had the knowledge, but in terms of the iman, he failed, because this knowledge did not really enter his heart. In his heart was his own nafs. How I will do sajda to shaitan. In his heart it wasn't God or the command of God. But in his heart it was his own nafs, that I am greater than Adam. That is why he did not listen to the command of God. So even after having the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of Qudrat of Allah and of the hereafter, still he couldn't really control himself, his desire of loving himself, and he went against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having knowledge doesn't really mean that a person could have or would have iman or even strong iman. So faith, iman is a halat qalbi, is a halat of our heart. It is very unfortunate that even after knowing everything, that this Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this book within it is, you know, shifa, is placed within it. We believe in that. We have the knowledge of it. To many instances, we prove the existence of God. And we believe that, yes, there is no possibility that God doesn't exist. He exists. We know that He is Hakim. We know that He is all-powerful. We know that لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We know that لا مؤثر في الوجود إلا الله. There is no effect except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After knowing all of this, but when it comes to our practice, we fail. How many times or how much do we really pay attention to the Quran? Is the word of God. We have iman, don't we? We are so careful about it. But when it comes to that practice, unfortunately we fail. So our faith and our iman haven't really reached to that ultimate level to believe that yes, there is akhirat. And what it will benefit us in the hereafter is our iman and nothing else. Whatever we are doing, it will not benefit unless or until, you know, there is the libas of iman, or essentially that act have iman in it. The Quran points out to, in regards to the qualities of the mu'mineen, in one of the verse which says that certainly mu'mineen are those individuals when the sign is raised in front of them, their hearts become khashi. So many signs we see of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our heart doesn't tremble. Our heart doesn't really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the signs in the sense that the ayat, as we are talking about ayat as a sign, or ayat as the verses of the Quran. How the imams, how the awliya, when the verses of the Quran were recited, they will tremble and they will shiver. And they will have full i'tiqad and belief and faith on those verses and on the Quran. As the fourth imam says that, if there be no one on this earth, and if I am left all alone, and if I have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will fear no one. To be all alone, it is very fearful. Have you ever been in a cemetery in the evening by yourself? All alone. Or in any place by yourself, all alone. There's a state of fear in our nafs, in our soul. But the imam says that if I have the Quran, nothing to worry. I will not fear anything. We are the followers of such imams. We have the Quran. But when it comes to believing, when it comes to having that faith, unfortunately we fail. So there is something that is missing. There is something that is, we are not doing it right, or we are not excelling on the faith that we have. We have been stagnating. When we look at the commentaries or the writings of the scholars, in one of the commentary of Aql wa Jahl, Imam Khomeini points out to that what is required for a person to increase that faith and iman. Number one is his niyat, that intention. He has to make his intention strong, and this intention with hamrava ikhlas, with khulus and sincerity. If an action with that intention, now obviously when I'm going in ruku, that requires an intention. When I'm saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi, if I'm saying it with the intention, that makes a major difference than just I'm saying it Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi. But if I'm intending and saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, there's a different halat altogether in myself. But I'm just saying as a practice, you know, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. It's over. Yes, although my namaz, when I begin, I do that intention, and perhaps because of that it has some weight, it is protecting, you know, me to a certain level. Perhaps not in this dunya in the sense that I see the fruit of it, but inshallah in the hereafter. But if every action of mine, which is within Salat, as discussed in the Adab of Salat of Imam Khomeini once again, that every action, if that has an intention, it becomes something else. My ruku has, should have that intention. My zikr must have that intention. Now, it is not just an intention as such, but an intention with khulus, with sincerity. When that khulus and sincerity comes, the first thing is, I see myself. What sort of khulus I have? What sort of person I am? It is Allah, and on my side, I'm nothing. I know myself than anyone else. I know myself more than anybody else. So that sincerity, when it comes with that niyat, it plays magic. It does its magic. It really helps. Now, it is not easy to really, you know, have that sort of strong willpower to really intend on every affair, on every sort of action of ours. But at least in Salat to begin with, at least in the recitation of the Quran, at least in carrying out certain good actions that are apparent. Maybe my eating, my drinking, you know, it really requires that intention, obviously. But it is very difficult to always 24/7, you know, have that sort of powerful, will to carry to and extend that. But at least in prayers we could. So, and through this prayer, it will extend to other actions. It is really that Salat, that's why it's known as Amududdin. You know, prayers are so important, it's that pillar of our deen. And it is from this Salat, things will come out, things will extend. As Salat tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. So it is the Salat which really protects us from fahsha, from munkarat, from those things which are, you know, corrupt, from those things which are, you know, evil. We will be protected through Salat. So if we concentrate in our prayers and intend, and if it is with sincerity, then we will be able to reach to a point, Subhanallahi amma yusifun illa ibadallahi mukhlasun. Allah will not be able to be depicted, defined, described, or I would say understood in, to begin with. First one have to understand and then say that this is how Allah is. Right? So to Allah, one will not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless or until he have ikhlas. Obviously, previous year we have discussed the difference between
مخلص and مخلص. You know, with the fatih lam, where it's مخلص, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies them. Allah is the one who takes over. But when Allah will take over, when they ask Agha Bahjat how to reach the level of مخلصون, you know, that sort of, one have to be مخلص in order that Allah makes us مخلص. As if we take one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take 10, isn't it so? So therefore, from our side, on whatever level of sincerity we could have, we should have that sincerity. And then after that, you know, that khulus has to be there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will train us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. Then Imam points out to the other important quality in order to gain Iman is the recitation of the Quran at night and during the, you know, Bayna Tulu'ayn, you know, after Fajr. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that we pay some attention to the recitation of the Quran. When a person is about to go to sleep, particularly, you know, the ulama have always emphasized to recite the Sabahat, or at least some parts of Sabahat, you know, those surahs which begins with, you know, Yusabbihu Lillah. Or some recite some sort of one page of the Quran or something. I mean, we know the knowledge, we have the Iman, but we are not doing it. You know, we really got to do it. And then perhaps after, you know, Imam mentions that after a person, you know, carries on and this action over and over again, eventually that, you know, door of Iman might open to his heart. Then he will, you know, really achieve that state of being called, you know, when that ayat is shown to him, his heart will sort of, you know, become khashay, fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they are the one who does tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we said that it's tawakkul, which is an act, you know, which is, you know, an active act, really is based on that Iman, isn't it? So perhaps through a continuous practice of ours, of things that have been taught with that intention, with that khulus, with the recitation of the Quran, eventually that bab, eventually that door of Iman will be opened towards us. Now, what about having faith? Is it possible that one could have Iman without knowledge? You know, that is also, you know, one might sort of, you know, question or investigate that how about there are many people who are not knowledgeable. You know, they haven't really read and understood and might even know, but they have strong Iman. What is that really? You know, is it really possible to have that Iman, that faith, without having knowledge? Shaykh Mutahri says that, you know, having Iman, first of all, he says having ilm without Iman, it is like providing a torchlight to a thief, to a robber. Instead of using this torchlight for achieving the goal and purpose, you know, he will use it the other way. Or it is like a sword given to a person who is drunk. He will destroy it. And this makes no difference compared to whether the people have lived during that the time in the prehistoric era, so to speak, the Fir'aun and Namrud, or in this era, he says, who are the Zalimeen. You know, they have the knowledge, but rather using this knowledge for the benefit of mankind, they use it the otherwise. Hiroshima Nagasaki, for example, you know, the US is known to be the sort of like the most powerful civilization and who promote knowledge. He's known for his expertise and, you know, research, but on the other hand, they were the one who bombed, for instance, right? Really, if you look at the present situation in the Middle East, since 1990 till 2014, 24 years, a person who wasn't born and have continuously seen since 1990 American planes are bombed for whatever reason, for humanitarian reason, for democracy, for, you know, justice. We are not looking at that. We are looking at a layperson, a common person, who these mullahs, they tend to, you know, misuse and brainstorm them. See, they have been doing this since, it's been 24 years, they've been sending the drones, they've been bombing, they've been taking our land, they've been occupying, so let's come and fight against them and do all these terrestrial activities. And that's what we see today. Right? If this 24 years, if this institution would have spent the money that have been spent in the war in establishing universities, in promoting charities and churches and masajids to really promote education, Middle East would be very different. But on the other hand, we have seen the other acts. So therefore, knowledge, if a person have and if he doesn't have iman, that becomes detrimental. That becomes more sort of like, it doesn't make him reach that goal. And if he wants to rewind, meaning that if he wants to basically rectify his acts, it becomes another sort of an issue in itself. From one side, one is pumping money into these industries which are wasting its fuel and which is dumping its sort of like all garbage in the oceans and the seas and destroying the environment. And on the other side, one is spending money to go green. It's like a vicious cycle. So therefore, iman and ilm, a person who have ilm but not iman, is giving like a light to a person who is a thief. Now, in regards to those who have iman but not ilm, Shaheed kind of points out to very. I would like to really read that because it's a long sort of like a paragraph. I'll just make it into bullet points. Ilm abzar hi sazat wa iman maqsad, meaning that ilm will create the vehicle and medium and iman will establish the goal. So ilm is really providing that method, you know, that sort of means, and the goal is really iman. That is, goal is established by iman. Ilm surat midahat wa iman jahat. Ilm provides the speed, but the direction is iman. So you need both. You need the speed and you need the, you know. Ilm inqilab birun has wa iman inqilab darun. Ilm is the outer inqilab, revolution, but the inner inqilab is really iman. Ilm tabiat saz has wa iman insan saz. Ilm will make the tabiat, you know, for instance, if we want to include the dunya of the person, that is made by the ilm. However, the insan saz, that what makes insan is really iman. Now, an insan will never make something that is detrimental to the environment, because environment is amanat given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever he is making, whatever he is inventing, he will make sure that this invention and this discovery is beneficial to humanity and also to the environment. Because of iman. Because iman is insan saas. Ilm zibai andeshi has wa iman zibai ahsasi. You know, he says ilm is something that investigate or look into the beauty, and the iman is something that really feels that beauty. It investigates, but that feeling of it is on the basis of iman. It's a quite interesting sort of comparison where Shaheed have pointed out to. So therefore, iman is that maqsad and goal, and it is through that ilm he will reach to that maqsad and goal. So ilm is also important. If a person doesn't have ilm and he just have maqsad and goal, he will not be able to really reach that. You know, he should have that method. He should have that sort of means through which he could achieve that purpose, which is really, you know, Iman, which is really nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance. So they go hand in hand. Now, as we are in these special nights, and the reality of ilm and the reality of Iman is clearly reflected in the story of Karbala. Those who have ilm and knowledge, but they did not have Iman, they did not achieve that goal. They did not achieve that purpose. Ubaydullah ibn Hurajofi to the camp, to his tent, Imam Hussain alayhi salam went and invited him, and he said, "This, you know, I don't see anyone more rightful than you being the Khalifa, being the leader, being the Imam." He had the knowledge, but in terms of his Iman, he said, "I will give you my horse, I will give you my sword." And after that he cried, after the Shahadat of Imam Hussain, he cried. But that crying will include him in the Shuhada of Karbala. There were many in the same. Abdullah ibn Umar, for example, who ran to Imam Hussain to Makkah, he stationed himself there. Imam Hussain asked him to join, but he did not support Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And when he did not support Imam Hussain alayhi salam, it went to the extent where Hajjaj apparently was, or one of the governors of Yazid, who was asking for the bayah after the Shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because there were certain individuals who did not give bayah to Yazid. And when they saw that Imam Hussain alayhi salam was massacred in this fashion, you know, they were asked to give in bayah. For instance, you know, one of them was killed in Makkah, in that he will not give bayah, you know, to Yazid. But Abdullah ibn Umar, apparently he went to the castle of the governor. It was either Hajjaj or Umar, or Ibn Ziyad. He was so busy with his sort of friends, and famous personality stood in line, and he wanted to give bayah to his hand. He said, "You know, don't you see that I am busy? Why don't you place your hand on my feet and give bayah?" You know, that honor and that dignity of that person, what did he gain by not helping Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but by not being with Imam Hussain alayhi salam? So having all the knowledge and not having Iman also becomes difficult, and Karbala is really that sort of is a role model for those who really yearn for Iman and would like to join. Tonight, as we said, we will point out to the martyrdom of Hazrat John. Hazrat John, who was known to be the slave of Abu Zar, and he was given as a gift to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and he joined Imam Hussain alayhi salam from Medina. And when he came to Imam Hussain to seek permission to go to the battlefield, in that intense moment, obviously one after the other, they were coming, they were sacrificing themselves, and here comes John. And Imam Hussain says that, "Why do you want to go?" And this was the style of Imam Hussain, that whoever comes, he would say that, "Don't, you know, free, you are free to go. There's no compulsion for you to really sacrifice." And he says, "You are free, I have freed you. And you can have safe passage and leave. You don't have to kill yourself for myself." Then look how he responds. He said, "Is it really my skin color? Or is it really because my sweat smells that you do not allow me to sacrifice myself?" In return, Imam Hussain alayhi salam hugged him. And he raised his hand and he prays for him. And he grants him the permission to go. It it is an honor to really go and sacrifice for the grandson of the Prophet. This honor is not given to anybody, to everybody. It is really a special honor to come and sit here in the majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and to break our heart by listening to the masail of Imam Hussain and the Ahlul Bayt. It is a big honor. Because in this majlis, it is not only you and I who will cry, but it is also the mother of Hussain crying as well. The cries of Zahra have already started right from the first of Muharram, to the extent that these cries increases every night as it reaches Ashura. When one of the companions followed Imam Hussain alayhi salam on the ninth night, when Imam Hussain alayhi salam went to see the battleground to really plan for the battle next morning, one of the companions followed him slowly in order to protect Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And finally, Imam Hussain alayhi salam gets down from the mount in a place where he himself will be slaughtered. And he shows to the companion and he says that, you know, this is the place where I will fall. And then the companion says that, how come this place is very clean? It doesn't have any pebbles as such. Then Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that, oh Burayl, do you hear the cry? Yes, he says, I've been listening to this cry of this lady. I don't seem to understand. What is it? Burayl, this is my mother who have come in the plain of Karbala. And this is her cry. And she has come here and cleaned this place where I will fall, because I will be placing my head in her lap. The head of mine will be given and thrown into her lap before it goes onto the spear. So therefore, it is an honor to be in this place and to cry along with Zahra salamullah alayha, to share the pain of Zahra salamullah alayha. So John says it is an honor, and he goes. And when he goes into this battleground, he tears his shirt. And the enemy says that, oh John, have you gone mad? He says, yes, I've gone mad in the love of Hussein. We all are aashiq and lovers of Hussein. When we do our matam, when we lament, make this hand strike on our chest with force. And we should say, Ya Hussein. Teach our children that this hand, when it strikes on their chest, it should call out Hussein. It should show that love. It should show that love to Hussein and the companions of Hussein. And here John strikes the hand on his chest and he says, Hussein is my life. And he moves forward. He was surrounded and attacked and killed. And when he falls onto the ground, here Hussein comes to the aid. And when Hussein comes, cleans the blood of John, places his head on the head of John and raises the hand and says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, make the fragrance of John smell beautifully. Make this fragrance smell sweet. And the fourth Imam says that when the shuhada were buried, when the burial of Imam Hussain alayhi salam took place, he said that there was sweet fragrance in the atmosphere of in the plain of Karbala. Then they inquired that, why is there sweet fragrance? He said, that was the fragrance of John. That was the fragrance of John that was in the plain of Karbala. Let our tears for Hussein have that fragrance. Let these tears be our intercession and be that sweet fragrance on the Day of Judgment. Allah la'anatullah ala qawm al-zalimeen say'alamu al-ladhin azalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun bifatimata wa abiha wa baliha wa baniha wa sirri al-mustawdi'a fiha bi'adad ma ahata bihi ilmuk bi'maulana wa abdullahi al-husayn alayhi salam. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallim al-Qulub, Qabbit Qulubana ala Deenik, Ya Qadi al-Hajat, Ya Kafi al-Muhimmat, Innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Rahma Allahu man qara' al-Fatiha li arwah al-Mu'minin wal-Mu'minat, especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here, and also of those who are volunteering and sponsoring the Tabarruk and making this event happen, inshallah, with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.